Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Living just enough, just enough for the situation.
Twenty years ago, in 1996, the United Way of Marathon County issued its first ever Leading Indicators for Excellence, or LIFE, report, examining the strengths and challenges facing our central Wisconsin communities and providing a call to action to address our most pressing unmet needs. The LIFE reports have been published every 2 years since then, compiled by a steering committee of community leaders, and this year, with the 10th edition LIFE report, calls to action have been issued in three areas to address the problems of poverty and low-income families, drug and alcohol or substance abuse, and mental health, all with the goal of making Central Wisconsin a place where kids can get off to a great start. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we're going to address those three areas with our three guests, Melissa Donner, Drug-Free Communities Program Coordinator for the Marathon County Health Department, Jeff Sargent, Executive Director of North Central Community Action Program and a member of the LIFE Report Steering Committee, and Laura Scuderi, Senior Executive for Human Services at North Central Healthcare. You can find out more about the new LIFE Report at unitedwaymc.org. And as always, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. And for those of you who were expecting to hear Congressman Ron Kind this morning, that program has been rescheduled to February 11th. Well, everyone, thanks so much for being here today. We've got a lot to talk about and a short amount of time to do it. Jeff Sargent, you serve on the steering committee for the LIFE Report. What's the process that you folks use to compile this study every 2 years?
Well, the process starts right away. And this report just got unveiled, and we're actually meeting on Friday to start talking about the next LIFE report. So it's an ongoing, ever-changing, continuous process. But basically what we're doing is we're meeting with community professionals and others around central Wisconsin to understand the issues, begin to do research and evaluate data, and start to evaluate and analyze trends.
Why is a report like this necessary in central Wisconsin in a place like Marathon County? And do other places do it?
Some places do it, but not that many. This report, as you mentioned, this is the 10th edition of this report, so it's been around for 20 years. So that's a long time. And I think what makes this unique is that there's many volunteers and community professionals that spend a lot of time looking at data, trying to analyze trends and make decisions about what's important for our community. And it takes a lot of work to do that.
Now, you can see a lot of this online, and let me give that website over the air again. It's unitedwaymc.org. Can people pick up the full report, which is really a nice report for us analog types who like to sit down and turn physical pages and see the statistics and everything else you've put together?
Yeah, the report's available at the United Way office. There's also a smaller version, which is called the Snapshot, and that has all the information condensed into a more easily readable version. The full report does have all the indicators, all the data, all the analysis, and then some summary pages to try to help people figure it all out and put it together.
How did you come up with these four issues as community priorities? And again, they're mental health, drug and alcohol abuse, and income. And the central goal in addressing all of those is to make the county a great start for kids.
The steering committee starts by looking at all the indicators for life here in central Wisconsin, and through a process of identifying areas of concern, areas that we want to address, we basically just put together a list based on all the information we have, and then the steering committee does an evaluation and ranking process. And through a process of discussion, elimination, these were the areas that were identified.
Laura Scuderi, do these areas make sense to you?
Oh, completely. From my previous experience as executive director at Bridge Community Health Clinic and my current experience at North Central Healthcare, this is very near and dear to the priorities of many nonprofits in our area. And many nonprofits use this as a needs assessment to determine what kind of programs we need to build and structure around the needs of the community.
And Melissa Dotter, once again, drug and alcohol abuse, substance abuse, right there at the top of the list.
Absolutely. You know, it's a pervasive issue. And like Laura said, you know, these issues are all interconnected. If we have someone with a substance abuse disorder, there's a very good chance there's a co-occurring disorder in their mental health and well-being. They may not be able to hold a job, affecting their income levels. It's all intertwined. And really, in the end, it comes down to how do we stop this from one generation to the next?
And the demographics have changed quite a bit in central Wisconsin over the past 20 years. Marathon County isn't the way that it used to be. Our minority population has gone from just 4.5% in 1996 to 10.4% now. The median age has gone up from 32.7 to 39.8 years. And the percentage of people over the age of 65, we've got a graying of the population. It doesn't seem too significant, but it's going to be more significant in the years ahead. It's gone from 12.7% to 14.6%. How have those changing demographics affected the needs that we have in central Wisconsin?
Well, one of the areas in the report that you'll see is an area that we're keeping an eye on is the aging population. As you mentioned, the county age is getting older. The population is aging. You know, we all age. And, you know, Marathon County is the largest county in the state of Wisconsin. So we need to be aware of the aging of our population. And it's going to bring issues that we haven't spent a lot of time thinking about more to the forefront.
And if we look at the issues that have been identified over the past 20 years, income, low income has been a factor in all 10 reports. Sometimes it's referred to as a lack of affordable housing or good paying jobs or meeting basic needs. Alcohol and drug abuse cited in 8 of the 10 reports. Most reports mention mental health and developing strong families, supporting kids and reducing domestic abuse and child abuse have also been in most reports, Laura Scuderi.
Well, one thing I like about the Life Report is it has a Venn diagram in it that shows the substance use, mental health, and income as being intertwined. But I do want to mention that, you know, mental health can affect anyone. In fact, 1 in 5 adults in 2014 had a mental illness in the past year. So it's not necessarily related to the culture of poverty, but it does intersect in many ways, and so does substance use. So again, that's another issue in our community that affects all levels of our community.
And if you'd like to follow along on this at home, we're putting a link to the United Way and the Life Report on our Route 51 Facebook page. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Ray in Rhinelander. Ray, you're on Route 51.
Hi, Glenn. Once again, very good program. Listen, I want to thank all three of you for being on to educate and update people. I want to give credit to Marathon County. Marathon County has been a leader in health issues and a variety of programming for years. They were a part of, back especially in the 70s and going into the 80s, what's called dual diagnose. And I know all of you know what that term means. Whereas people with mental health issues and substance abuse issues can go hand in hand and cross over within each other. They're not always just separate issues. And of course, poverty and everything else involved with economics and family issues, you know, this has been going on all around the country. It's exceedingly getting more rapid now. I work within the health facility capacities of drug and alcohol and mental health and dual diagnosis all through the state. So I want to compliment all of you, mainly. My call is about complimenting you on keeping up with this, making sure that there's one hand helps the other. As you know, these things are all interconnected and interlocked. And I've always respected Marathon County. Marathon County has always been a leader in all these issues. And I'm very happy that that's continuing. So once again, thank you all. Don't give up on anything. There's always a way to do this. I know these are harder times financially and everything else, but the need now is greater than ever. And thank you for all your expertise. And Glenn, thanks for your wonderful program. And everybody take care and have a good day.
All right, Ray, thanks so much for the phone call. It was Ray and Rhinelander and Laura Scuderi. Kudos to Marathon County for trying to address some of these really difficult issues.
Yeah, I think that I really like that Marathon County has made a commitment to become the healthiest county. And so I truly feel that that's great feedback because I believe that they're really working to be the healthiest county.
The United Way has produced a series of videos to highlight some of the concerns in this year's Life Report. We're going to listen to the audio track from one of them. This highlights the problems of low-income families, and it features our guest today, Jeff Sargent, and also Joanne Kelly, who is the executive director of the United Way of Marathon County.
It's really common for families to struggle with enough income to meet their basic needs, and when they do that, it affects the whole family.
Income is a key factor for any individual or family. It really is the driver for many parts of their lives, whether it comes to affordable housing, whether it comes to having resources to meet the needs of their family. Really having an adequate income drives the whole process for a family. The wages tend to stay stagnant, and then that puts a family in a bind because now if something happens that can be a negative effect, they don't have any way to combat that with additional resources.
There's certainly less opportunities for children to have an advanced education when they grow up in a low-income home. It's not an expectation for their parent, and they may not have the ability to afford a further education.
Complicating all of these issues is mental health issues, chemical dependency issues, physical issues. All those are exacerbating factors when it comes to somebody struggling to meet their basic needs. Marathon County has a great tradition and history of organizations working together. No one organization can do everything themselves. Not everybody has expertise in certain areas. So being able to connect them to appropriate resources really makes all the difference in the world.
Advancing our community's well-being requires jobs with higher wages and ensuring people are job ready.
To learn more or get involved, go to unitedwaymc.org.
And Jeff Sargent, as we just heard, access to adequate wages, often the most reliable predictor of success, that includes health, education, and the capacity to meet your basic needs.
Yeah, wages is critical. You know, when you think about affordable housing, for example, for housing to be considered affordable, somebody should not have to spend more than 30% of their income on their housing. Well, what's a factor in that? Your income. So depending on what you're earning and what your expenses are, you can start to see the continuum of the value of an adequate income on all facets of your life, such as housing.
And as we just heard in the video, Laura Scuderi, mentally ill people, many of them are living on the brink of poverty.
Yeah, it's an issue that affects all areas of our system, our Marathon County system, including law enforcement. And they're really working to ensure that we're getting individuals into high-quality care so that they get affordable housing, so that they have ongoing treatment and they have residential options.
How many of the mentally ill, if you could just come up with a percentage, are also having problems with poverty? Because it seems that if you're too poor, you're not going to get the psychiatric care or the support that you need.
It's a large problem. I believe that we're trying to explain to people that there's no stigma to getting mental health care, because I think that people automatically relate mental health issues with the poor. And while they're less likely to get access to that care, mental health issues affect all levels of socioeconomic status that we have.
Well, that's a tough one to go after in our society, because so many people still have a stigma against people who are seeing psychiatrists or people who are trying to work out problems that they've got. And let's face it, we're complex people. You know, the human species is a complex animal, and that brain you've got is a complicated biocomputer. And, you know, just like you have to take care of your own home computer every once in a while, sometimes you've got to take care of the one that's sitting on your shoulders.
Oh, you're not wrong. It's, you know, I've been telling people that health doesn't stop at the neck. We have to be thinking about a person as a whole person. And so that also involves mental health care and also oral health care. And so if we're not addressing an entire person's needs, then other needs are going to go unmet.
And at the Bridge Community Clinic, where you worked before, you catered to the needs of low-income people, and particularly this problem of dental care, which is pervasive. You know, if you've got poor dental care, it makes it difficult for you to get a job or even to get through a job interview.
Yeah, if you're in dental pain and you're trying to manage your diabetes, I can tell you that if you're in pain and you have to deal with that, it's going to affect your ability to manage all the other chronic illnesses that you're dealing with, or any other issues with poverty that you're trying to deal with. Pain usually comes first. And so that's why we at Bridge were very fortunate to be able to take walk-ins into our dental.
Jeff Sargent, Wisconsin is lagging behind the rest of the nation in job creation. Do we see that trend evidenced in Marathon County? Are there too few good jobs for all the people looking for them?
Yeah, it's a challenging topic. There are jobs available in central Wisconsin. Not all of them pay that well. We have a high number of service industry jobs, so they're available. The issue comes down to a living wage. And that was one of the areas on the report that we tried to highlight, is that there's a difference between having an income and having an adequate income, or having what's considered a living wage income. And that can be a challenge, because we know that a lot of sectors have a level that they can afford to pay their workers at. So that challenges an industry. But we do know that if you're a family of three, you know, a single parent with two kids, and you're making $10 or $11 an hour, that isn't going to make it. That's not going to cut it for you.
You know, good manufacturing jobs are hard to come by. A lot of operations moving to Mexico or overseas, where the labor costs are much lower. How can we address this kind of what's really a sweeping macroeconomic problem, something that affects the entire United States? How can we even start to put a dent into it or make a difference at a local level?
I think people have to start talking about what the issues are and see the impact on families. You know, families are the backbone of a community. That's where our employees come from. Industries need to understand that to have a good workforce, you have to have good, strong families. You know, this report highlights three different areas with children in the middle. You know, when you see children in the middle of these issues, and we're projecting out 20 to 25 years, employers and systems and communities need to not necessarily just think about right now. Mm-hmm. They need to be thinking about what is this going to look like for that baby that was just born in 25 years from now, because that baby is going to be our worker. So we need to create a system and a structure that helps our families be strong, because they're the ones that really provide the framework for any economic system.
And Melissa Dotter, how is the problem of low income exacerbated by drug and alcohol abuse?
Well, I think when you look at substance abuse, it really is it's multifaceted, because when you have an addiction, while you may have made that choice to use that drug at one, you know, initially, at some point that addiction takes over. So it's going to take over. It's going to rise above holding and achieving employment, taking care of your children. It's going to kind of overtake your abilities to even be able to remain safe in your employment. You know, when you talk to employers, and the concern is that we have people that can't pass drug tests. You know, that's a huge issue. But then there's also that area of, when you look at service industry, usually one of those boxes on your application is, are you a convicted felon? And sometimes that throws your application right out. When you look at a lot of these substance abuse disorders and the drugs that people may abuse, a lot of those carry felonies. So if somebody does, you know, go through recovery and is successful in the recovery for a number of years, they're going to have that felony on the record for the rest of their life, which could stand in the way of them being able to earn a good wage.
Let's listen to another of the United Way videos about the Life Report. This one highlights the continuing problem of substance abuse. It features Marathon County Sheriff Scott Parks and also alcohol and drug prevention specialist Sue Nowak.
Marathon County continues to face challenges pertaining to alcohol and illegal and prescription drugs.
Substance abuse crosses all socioeconomic backgrounds. We've seen prominent business persons that have been involved in the product and have sacrificed their businesses, their careers, just because of the addiction. When you look at any social event that takes place in this community, usually alcohol is served at those particular events, and it's a draw.
When a teenager drinks alcohol, they have a 6 to 8 times greater chance of becoming addicted to alcohol because of the brain not being fully developed. Unfortunately, in Wisconsin, it's legal for parents or guardians to give alcohol to their underage children. We know that addiction, it can be genetic, but it also can be learned behaviors.
Substance abuse is a huge issue. 75% of those persons that are booked into the Marathon County Jail are there for some type of substance abuse problem, whether it be from sale or trafficking to committing offense while under the influence of a particular product or committing an offense to support a habit or an addiction.
It doesn't matter what the person is using, you have to understand why they're using. So I think that's the number one thing that we have to tackle.
Understanding and openly discussing both drugs and the more accepted use of alcohol will be a step toward changing the culture.
To learn more or get involved, go to unitedwaymc.org.
And Jeff Sargent and Laura Scuderi and Melissa Dotter, Sheriff Scott Parks, estimating that alcohol or drugs involved with 75% of the people who end up behind bars. Anyone want to take that?
I can take it first. You know, that's actually a statistic. It's usually between 75 and 80% of all incarcerated populations. It is something that's linked back to alcohol and drug abuse, whether it's, like Scott said, the addiction, whether it's the sale or trafficking, whether it's domestic violence, you name it. It's really something that's pervasive. When somebody's under the influence of these substances or seeking these substances to avoid withdrawal, they will do whatever they can, and that's just the nature of the addiction.
And the sheriff, of course, is talking about you know, a broad way of looking at this in terms of 75%. But the statistics in Wisconsin, 33% of people in the state, or 36% of our local inmates, were actually under the influence of alcohol or drugs at the time of the arrest.
Absolutely, you know, like I said, when you're using these or seeking these substances, it really doesn't matter what else is going on because your brain is in one direction. It's looking at how you can either maintain that high or get high again.
Jeff Sargent, it's hard to get a job when you're in jail.
Yeah, it is. yeah, you know, what we see are people that have poor coping mechanisms. And the stress of life is difficult for all of us. You know, we all have issues we have to face. We all have challenges in life. Some people have adapted to that fairly well. Others have not. And that's what we've seen, is that people that have challenges, if they don't have a good support system, if they don't have a good framework to operate within their family, you know, if they're not from the community and they feel isolated, if they're struggling financially, if they're having a multitude of problems, alcohol and drug use in its early stages can be a way to try to deaden those emotions and senses.
It makes all that pain go away for a while, doesn't it?
Makes it go away. And then as it continues to mount, then you'll see where the addiction really starts to take hold.
Laura Scuderi?
Well, I just want to speak for a quick second, and I think Melissa Dotter can also help me with this, is that we do have a very pervasive culture of alcohol acceptance here. And it's a problem that we need to move that dial, so that does every event need to involve alcohol? And do we need to look at other policies that would support providing some kind of incentive for events not to have alcohol, or some options for families to support them in making better choices so that they have options.
You know, when I look at it too, it's just such a complex issue. It is so interwoven. And, you know, I think there's no disputing that alcohol and drug abuse is a threat to our public health and safety, but we really need to look at how we can support this and address this issue on a multitude of fronts. It's not just a law enforcement problem. We can't expect treatment to solve it all. But we really need to look at, with children being in the middle of this, the diagrams, and being kind of the focus of these three intersecting points, we really need to look at how we can support prevention efforts so we can stop people before they start, or stop people before they learn those behaviors of abuse.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we're looking at the newly released Life Report for Marathon County with Laura Scuderi of North Central Healthcare, Melissa Dotter of the Marathon County Health Department, and Jeff Sargent of North Central Community Action. We have to take a short break. Here's Judy Collins looking at life.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Katie's American Indian Arts, Madison Jazz Society, and Ministry Healthcare. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
When the evening sun goes down, you're gonna find me hanging around. Nightlife ain't no good life, but it's my life.
Willie Nelson with his classic composition, Nightlife, which ain't no good life. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we're looking at the newly released Life Report with Laura Scuderi of North Central Healthcare, Melissa Dotter of the Marathon County Health Department, and Jeff Sargent of North Central Community Action. And as we just heard in the last segment, one of those persistent problems in central Wisconsin is the nightlife and the chronic abuse of drugs and alcohol. And it's even affecting our children. The Center for Disease Control estimates that in Wisconsin in 2013, high school students in our state in the past 30 days, in just a 30-day period, 35% drank some alcohol, 21% binge drank, 10% drove after drinking, and 22% rode with a driver who had been drinking. Melissa Dotter.
Well, when you look at some of that statewide data, that's our statewide snapshot. But when you actually – one of the things that we've been able to collect over the last couple of years is aggregate data of all of our high school students that are in public schools in Marathon County. And that data really does show that while some of our rates are still high, we are seeing progress when we look at 30-day use, for example. That's something that I think our community can be proud of. You know, that's through different things like policy work, making sure that kids don't have access to alcohol. But when we look at things like binge drinking, what's kind of scary is that not only are our rates high, but you see males and female rates pretty much leveling off and being at the same level. Alcohol impacts males and females differently. That's a great concern. You see people starting using these substances earlier. You know, the drug that is the most pervasive in our society is absolutely alcohol. When you look at the impact of excessive alcohol use, which includes underage drinking, that is actually over $1,100. $1,137 is estimated for every man, woman, and child per year just to address that issue. And we just need to do more to prevent it from happening in the first place.
You know, there's a new law that may be on the books pretty soon in Wisconsin that would make it a felony to have, I think it's either your third or your fourth drunk driving arrest. Will that actually deter people from getting drunk? Or are these people, you know, it seems that many of them can't control themselves regardless of the consequences. Laura?
Well, I think it's a complicated issue. So the hope of any policy is that there's evidence-based research. And Melissa, you could probably speak to that.
Well, when you look at a lot of these bills that have been proposed, what they're doing is they're stiffening the penalties. They're making them higher class penalties. They're putting more mandatory jail time, more higher fine thresholds. But really what you're looking at, if you're looking at a 4th, 5th, 6th or above OWI, there is an issue there. It's not something as simple as bad decision making. But when you look at the majority of our alcohol-related crashes, alcohol-related fatalities, they're typically in people that have never had any sort of arrest in the past for an alcohol-related driving offense. And I think that that's where, in this report, it really talks about that personal accountability. It's no longer, it's those people's problem. It's not my behavior, it's their behavior. And that really comes down to alcohol, prescription, and drug abuse in general. It's really all of our problem, and we all need to be part of that solution.
And I just want to add that in the Life Report, it does mention that only 63.2% of Marathon County high school students reported that their parents felt it would be wrong for their son or daughter to drink alcohol at least twice a month. So you would expect that number to be higher because we want to be promoting children. We don't want to be promoting drinking and promoting the alcohol culture to our children.
And we do have a culture and laws in Wisconsin that make it legal for parents to give their underage kids alcohol.
Absolutely. We're the only state that allows for someone to take their underage person into an establishment like a bar or restaurant and give them alcohol. We're the only state that allows that. And there's something inherently wrong in that.
Jeff Sargent, how many of the people that you help out at North Central Community Action have underlying drug and alcohol problems?
I don't know. I would say a fair amount of them do. I don't know a percentage. Definitely it's a factor in the families that we're working with. And what we try to do is connect them with resources that will help them, you know, like anybody would try to do. The issues that complicate all of this stuff is free will, somebody's ability to make their own decisions, somebody to, you know, there's a concept in social work called a client's right to self-determination. People have the ability to make their own decisions in spite of the fact that they could be horrible decisions for them. Alcohol use, drug use. Most people that use know that it's not good for them, but they still make those decisions. And so the clients that we work with and deal with, in most cases, they're aware that this is really having a negative impact on their situation. That doesn't mean it's easy to eliminate or change it, but it's definitely there for them.
And if you just joined us, we're looking at the three areas of call to action for Central Wisconsin identified in the new United Way Life Report. Those areas are alcohol and drug abuse, mental health issues, and also poverty or low income. Jeff Sargent, one of the best indicators of how many people are living in acute poverty is hunger and the use of food assistance. We met requests for food assistance in this area. They were just under 6,000 in 2008 to a little over 12,000 in 2014 in Marathon County. That's a doubling of the people who either need or get assistance.
Yeah, hunger is an issue. I think when people think about the fact that there's hungry people that need food, it's easy to conjure up thoughts of like starvation or third world countries where there's issues of hunger. We're talking more about people that don't have adequate sources of food, nutritious foods, and that hunger is impacting not only the individual but their entire family, their children. You'll see the numbers of free and reduced lunch have increased in the community, and that's a good thing because we want children to have access to nutritious foods so then they can develop, grow, learn, have their minds stimulated in an appropriate way, and good nutrition is part of that. But definitely we've seen the usage of food pantries go up over the years, and the needs for food continue to grow.
What will it mean to low-income families if the government makes it more difficult to get food stamps?
It makes it a lot more difficult. You know, it impacts on a family's ability to function, on their ability to have needs. Now they're going to have to start making decisions about how they spend the resources that they do have. What we see a lot with parents and adults is that they will sacrifice their own nutrition to try to make sure that their kids have food. So it becomes kind of a domino effect with decision making and then how you allocate your resources based on what you have. For some people, food becomes something that they'll put off and make sure at least their kids have access to food.
Laura Scuderi used to work, as I mentioned before, at the Bridge Community Clinic, which provides medical care and dental care for low-income people. Talk a little bit about your experience there and how chronic the needs are.
We saw a great number of people who would delay necessary treatment because of the concern over how the cost of their care. And that was especially present in the dental care because people generally do not take care of their dental care if they're concerned about paying their bills. Preventative dental care is not going to be a priority. So they would generally come in if there was an issue of pain.
And Melissa Dotter, low-income folks, substance abuse problems, they kind of go hand in hand. And I imagine it's difficult to get some of the treatment that you need to get or to find the time or the resources or even the transportation to do it if you don't have enough money.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, with addiction – that takes priority. So if somebody is making that choice to start down that road of recovery, there's a number of things that could stand in their way. Is a provider going to accept them and be adequately ready to be able to address their substance abuse issues within their treatment center? You know, do they have transportation to be able to go get that treatment? Do they have the supports to, let's say they do have children at home, do they have supports for somebody to watch their children while they go receive that treatment? For someone that's going to get treatment at WASA Comprehensive Treatment Center, for example, you are going there every day except Sunday to get your dose to help reduce the risk of recidivism for opiate addiction or relapse. So, you know, I think that that's something that a lot of the community don't necessarily understand. While they may have made that first choice, it is not about free will anymore when you have an addiction. It's not about, oh, just get over it. It's about a community that needs to support everyone that is in recovery, whatever they make, whatever they do, wherever they come from, whatever they look like, you name it. We need to have communities that are supportive of recovery and be able to get them access to treatment when they are ready.
And Jeff Sargent, Melissa just mentioned the problem of transportation.
Yeah, transportation is really becoming an issue in our community in central Wisconsin and really in any rural area. It's challenging when you don't have public transportation. Now, in the city of Wausau, we do have public transportation, but it is limited. And if people have been paying attention and watching some media coverage over the last year, there's been a lot of discussions about the busing system in the city of Wausau and how far it extends and, you know, out in Weston and Corona Wetter and, you know, areas where it doesn't.
Well, people can't even take the bus to St. Clair's anymore
hospital. Yeah. And so what the Marathon County Housing and Homelessness Coalition, just this week we had a presentation from the Department of Workforce Development where they just took a snapshot of all the job openings in the city of Wausau in a one-week period. And it basically, there were about 389 jobs that were available on their website. And what they did is they looked at the public transportation, which in the city of Wausau is, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so they looked at all the jobs that were available, and there were less than 100 jobs out of the 389 that somebody could access by public transportation. You know, whether it's in the morning part or the evening part, you know, all those jobs are sitting there, and people that don't have transportation can't get to them. So if you're low income, if you have issues with transportation, if you don't have the resources to have a car, to keep your car running, and you're dependent on a bus system, it's going to really hamper your ability to get employed, and then that becomes a domino effect of lack of income and then all the other things that go with that.
And this just isn't a local problem. The reason these communities had to cut the bus service is because the state of Wisconsin a few years ago, the state government under Governor Walker and the Republicans in the legislature cut state aid to our local communities. And one of the things that suffered was regional transportation.
Yeah, decisions get made and then there's an impact. And so when you're looking at employment and income and helping families and, you know, getting our kids off to a great start, and income is part of that puzzle, definitely transportation is an issue. The other thing is, you know, we're not even – when we talk about generational changes, we have, you know, a younger generation that they don't necessarily want to own a car, or they don't want to be dependent on using their resources for gas and, you know, maintenance of a vehicle. They want to live in cities where they have access to things using transportation as an option. It's impacting on where people live, because – now, if they don't have access to certain types of transportation, they might choose not to live here. I mean, so then those have economic impacts as well that sort of sprinkle across the whole equation.
Let's listen to another of the United Way videos about the problems highlighted in the Life Report. This one examines the issue of mental illness and features Chris Gilmore, the superintendent of D.C. Everest Schools, and also Marathon County Deputy Administrator Deb Hagar.
When good mental health is absent, it becomes a contributing factor to many other individual, family, and community challenges.
Mental health is a community issue, and schools are a reflection of the community. Starting at an even really early age, as early as kindergarten, we're seeing behavior issues and mental health issues. It's really hard to focus in school, whether you have a mental health issue or something's going on at home with one of your family members. Think about studying for math. Not real easy when you're worried about what's happening at home each day.
We're spending almost over $5 million in addressing the symptoms that are often a reflection of other underlying mental health issues. What we're finding is the people who are coming into our criminal justice system, who often have children, who often are neglecting their children, have significant underlying mental health concerns as well.
There are limited counselors, certainly limited psychiatrists, especially child psychiatrists, that can even see people. And so as a community, I think we need to come together and make sure we have those resources and staff available.
Taking steps to acknowledge and address mental health issues will impact many aspects of our community in a positive way.
To learn more or get involved, go to unitedwaymc.org.
And mental health concerns are linked to income. According to the Life Report, the reasons given for not seeing a mental health provider in 2015 included no means to pay, that's 44%, or no insurance, that's 25%. Laura Scuderi.
Yeah, at North Central Healthcare, and there is other agencies in town, they provide a spectrum of services for mental health care for everyone, including the underserved or those who are having difficulty paying for their services. There are options. And so I do want to mention that North Central Healthcare, they do substance use counseling. They do counseling. They do outpatient treatment. They do case management. It's quite a number of services. And it's a very vital source of mental health care to our community. And at this point, there is a psychiatric shortage in our community that is pretty severe. And North Central Healthcare is working on a residency program with some key stakeholders to ensure that we have a source of psychiatric care coming in.
The ratio of mental health providers to the population in Marathon County is 724-1. Our high school students, 29% of Marathon County high school students describe their mental health as not good three or more days in the last month. 12.2%, that's more than 1 in 10, considered attempting suicide in the past year.
Absolutely. You know, when we think of things, you know, when we look at things that impact youth, there are so many interconnected issues, whether it's, you know, stresses at home, stresses at school, stresses in the community. And, you know, with so many different more outlets now, you know, I couldn't imagine growing up with what kids today are growing up with. Every these different messages coming at them, all these different expectations coming at them. It's huge. And when you look at something like the work I do with substance use, you know, it's one of those things, like Jeff said, you know, it's one of those coping mechanisms to get through the pain of childhood.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, the newly released Life Report with Laura Scuderi of North Central Healthcare, Melissa Dotter of the Marathon County Health Department, Jeff Sargent of North Central Community Action. A final short break. Here's the band.
Life is a carnival, believe it or not. Life is a carnival, who gets a shot? Life.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Epic, Mineral Point Chamber of Commerce, and Boswell Book Company, proud sponsors of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, with a focus on renewable energy system design and installation, including solar, wood, and deep energy retrofits to existing buildings. Northwindre.com.
And you make them long, and you make them tough, but they just go on, and it seems that you can't get off. Oh, I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day, but tell me, where do the children play?
I'm Glenn Moberg. That, of course, is Yusuf Islam, the singer previously known as Cat Stevens, asking the musical question, where do the children play? As we head into kind of a short final segment on Route 51, looking at the newly released Life Report with Laura Scuderi of North Central Healthcare, Melissa Dotter of the Marathon County Health Department, and Jeff Sargent of the North Central Community Action Program, the calls to action involve substance abuse, mental health, and low-income families or poverty. The reason the report gives for addressing those challenges is to provide a great start for kids in Marathon County. Now, that's the topic of the final video clip we're going to play with Dean Dietrich of the Marathon County Early Years Coalition and Laura Salzman, Community Services Program Coordinator at Children's Hospital.
Children will thrive when they are provided a stable, supportive, and nurturing environment.
We're all working together to ensure that Marathon County becomes the best place to raise kids. Sometimes it's hard to justify that investment compared to what all of the other needs are, but there has to be some investment in our future. And you know, it's so easy to put a child in front of a screen, but putting that child in front of the screen at a young age is one of the worst things you can do.
I think parents want to be good parents. It's just they don't know how to. If parents know how to deal with that and talk to their kids and make them feel good about themselves, they're going to carry that over in society too. If they see you reading, that's modeling great behavior, because kids want to do what they see the parents doing. So if they see you reading a magazine or a book or the newspaper, they're apt to do that. Children just need to feel safe. They need to feel loved.
Improving our community and child success takes us all working together.
To learn more or get involved, go to UnitedWayMC.org.
And Laura Scuderi, in the end, it's all about the kids, isn't it?
It is, and we want to make sure that we have the appropriate support system set up so that they get a good start in life.
Melissa Dotter?
Absolutely. Substance abuse related, talk early, talk often. Remember that you are a role model for your children. They will do what you do, and they won't necessarily do what you say.
And Jeff Sargent, when you have families raising kids and low-income people, that exacerbates all these problems. It affects the child's sense of self-worth. It affects, in some areas, it'll affect the kind of educational opportunities they can get.
Yeah, and I think one way to close is, you know, we have great resources here in central Wisconsin. We got great schools. We have good programs. We have organizations that work together. There's numerous collaborations and partnerships all across the community, everybody working together to make a difference in the lives of the people that they work with. And the main focus for much of this is the children and their needs for the future.
I want to thank all of you for being with us today. Thank you so much.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shut down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June.
We want to thank today's guest, Melissa Dotter, Drug-Free Communities Program Coordinator for the Marathon County Health Department, Jeff Sargent, the Executive Director of North Central Community Action Program and a member of the Life Report Steering Committee, and Laura Scuderi, Senior Executive for Human Services at North Central Healthcare. You can find out more about the new Life Report at UnitedWayMC.org. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks also to Joanne Kelly of the United Way, Chris Gilmore of D.C. Everest Schools, Deputy Administrator Deb Hagar, Sheriff Scott Parks, Alcohol and Drug Prevention Specialist Sue Nowak, Dean Dietrich of the Marathon County Early Years Coalition, and Linda Salzman of Children's Hospital. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Stevie Wonder, Judy Collins, Willie Nelson, the band, Yusuf Islam, and Frank Sinatra.
One single try. I jump right off Big Bird, and then I fly.
Next week, our guest on Route 51 is Keith Ulig, reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald, discussing his ongoing research project, Finding Private Clark. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. The program can also be downloaded at wpr.org/route51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.
I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball.